I pray that God will really reach you in a special way, that you receive his mercy and his grace today. I thank you, Jesus, for this. Amen. Just to remind you that we are in our second week of prayer and fasting. Second week already, right? That goes so quickly. And I mean, what are we doing? We are fasting for God's presence. What are we doing? The beginning of the year is a good way to align ourselves with the purpose of God. And as we fast and we pray, we open the door for God to be close to us so that we can be close to him. And fasting is voluntarily giving up food and drink, or drink, or food for a period so that you can seek the face of God. And I did remind you last week that 2 years ago we did not know what was coming. But through prayer and fasting, majority of us were prepared for what was coming, which we never knew. But when it came, we felt so prepared to be able to cope with adversity. So if you want the heavens to be open to you, it is never too late. There's 14 more days. Choose the fast that you are comfortable with and fast and seek God's face for yourself. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about the most important relationship. I spoke about it at Mega Hope on Wednesday. Hope is House of Peace. That's the extension of our church in homes where God moves, where miracles happen, where there's great teaching, and where we encounter God in a special way, where we pray for people to see God's hand move. And we started this, and I did say that we'll continue in the stream of having a relationship, because the idea of refasting is we want to have a relationship with God. Shall we start with our reading from 1 John chapter 1, verse 3? 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, that which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with Son Jesus Christ. That which we have heard, that which we have seen, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. See, there are countless people who are looking for someone to have a trustworthy relationship with. Whilst many relationships can be beneficial, only one remains most important. That is our relationship with God. So beginning this year, I will urge you to know that the most important relationship that you and me need to have, if we don't have any at all, is to have a relationship with God. Because it is important we, you and me, prepare that one day Jesus Christ is going to come back onto this world. How do we know that? He says, in the last days, the thing that will be a precursor for me to come back to this world to rescue my own is perilous times will come. Difficult times will come. When Jesus talks about it, sometimes it looks far-fetched. Oh, it doesn't. But now we have pandemic, it's a perilous time. It's not easy to travel anymore. This very minute I'm talking, some people are testing positive. And others have their hope in God that they will recover. Others too have no hope. Some too will recover because of medication. I just want you to know that Jesus predicted these times. He predicted wars. And there are so many people dying in Kazakhstan today. People dying in Sudan today. People dying in many other countries today. There's instability. We thank God in this country looks so peaceful, but underneath it's not so peaceful. So these are reminders that one day Jesus Christ is going to come. We don't know what is ahead of us in the rest of the year. We just started. So we're fasting to pray. But we've got to get ourselves in a relationship with God. It's important because it's going to prepare us. Because Jesus Christ will come for his bride. That's those who maintain an intimate relationship with him. So if you are someone who is maintaining an intimate, close relationship, close communion and fellowship with God, then you are the one that when Jesus Christ comes, he'll rescue you. Those who do not have a relationship with God or don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they will be left behind. So if you are here and you say to God, you know what? I don't want to get the number 666 because it's the number of the vaccine. That's your problem. Because 666 will not happen until the bride of Christ have been rescued. So until you and me leave this world, Satan's power will not be unleashed to the ultimate to give you the number 666. Do you hear that? That's what scripture tells us. So if the number 66 is being released, either in the vaccine or whatever it is, then woe unto us. Then you and me have missed the mark, but we haven't missed it. Hallelujah. We haven't missed it. So we want to maintain that close relationship with God. Having an ongoing and present relationship with God guarantees that we'll be taken up in the rapture. Rapture means that those of us, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, said that there's going to be a suddenness of God coming. Just like the virus suddenly descended upon us. There's going to be a suddenness. And when it comes, you don't have time to prepare anymore. This is the time for us to prepare. So today, I want to urge you, if you're in this building or if you're online, I want you to be prepared to be sure of your relationship with God. Your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You've got to be 100% sure. Nothing like 99.999. 100% sure. Amen. If there's any doubt about that, then today I pray that you take that opportunity to renew your relationship with God. And say, God, woe is me. I don't want to miss the rapture. So what the Apostle Paul was writing, if we roll back to 1 John 1:1-2, he's saying that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So here, we see here, that as I'm reading from verse 1 and 2, said, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested, has been manifested to us. Now, the writer is saying that I'm not talking theories anymore. I'm not hiding behind theologies anymore. Theologies are a view about God, what we think about God. Some thinkers have come up with some theology, meaning that is what they think about God. But what do you think about God? Are you with me? If you want to study, to become educated in biblical, whatever it is, the seminaries, they will teach you theologies, which is good. But what is your experience? That is what they are saying. They said, this is our experience. What we have heard, what we have handled, what we have seen, this is our experience concerning the word of life. And this time the word of life has been manifested. That means it has been revealed to us. The word manifested meaning revealed to us. It has become life to us. It's no more theological concept. It's no more theory concept. It is no more an idea and a thought and opinion, but it's our experience. Hallelujah. So today I'm asking, what is your experience about God? He said, what we have seen, we bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, has now been manifested to us. So in John chapter 1 verse 14, he said, the word of God has been revealed, the word of God has become flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt with us, full of grace. That means the word of God, which was now the written code, which we heard, now this time has been revealed to us. And now we beheld his glory. The glory as of the Father. Yes? The glory as of the Father. This is incredible. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the Holy, as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's talking about Jesus. And I said, Jesus has now been revealed to us. It's no more only in the books, but we can handle him. So is it your experience? Do you feel his presence? We said this is a holy ground. The song that we are singing said, God, let your holy presence come. Bow down and worship him. So having a relationship with God, what is it? When two people are in a relationship, they talk to each other continuously. Yes or no? If you're in a relationship and you're not talking to that person, better quit. You don't know what you're doing. When you're in a relationship, there's love there. You want to get closer to the person. You can't stop talking to that person continuously. You touch each other sometimes and then care for each other. You go from being two people to become one eventually when you get married, right? Even if you were not married, because you are in a relationship with somebody, soon you are thinking the same. Soon you are planning the same. Soon you are reacting the same because you are in a relationship. Is that true? Mm-hmm. You are being one. The two is now becoming one. So when the Bible says now there are no more two but one, it makes sense to me. Because there's a relationship. In a great relationship, the two become one. The same thing happens in our relationship with God. Prayer is the best way you and me can talk to God and build a relationship, because it is a two-way form of communication. You are talking to God and God is talking back. And this time of prayer and fasting, you are literally devoting yourself, setting time aside, praying to God and asking God to come your way, and God is going to come. You're asking God, God, these are my issues. Hear me, and God is going to hear you. So use this opportunity to pray to God and bring your requests and your needs. But first, build that relationship. Know God for yourself. And as you know God for yourself and you ask him those questions and you cry to him and you tell him, God, why is this one going on like that way? I want you to give me an answer. I need right direction. I need clear direction. I need hope. I need an answer. And he will give you that answer. But that has come upon the back of a close relationship. Otherwise, the Bible tells in Matthew chapter 6 that don't be like the heathen don't be like the hypocrites who just come with words. You see, that means you don't build good relationship, but then you come with long prayers expecting God to answer. He will not answer because there's no relationship. That's what it means by being a hypocrite. You are pretending that you are a praying person. You're praying so much and yet it's not going anywhere, because the person you are praying to, you don't even know that person. Are you with me? Because if I go and stand by the roadside and I see people coming and I say hello and I start chatting, they can decide whether to stop or not to stop. They don't know me. But if they know me, they will stop and have some conversations. Is that right? So we need to know God. So what do I mean? So prayer is the basis. Jesus, a man here on this earth, always remained in communication with the Father. He taught his disciples to pray and left them a model prayer as a way of talking to God. A model prayer as a way of talking to God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, this is what he says. In this manner, therefore, as a result of building that relationship with God, in this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, you come to the point of calling God your Father because you know him intimately. I cannot call your Father my Father. Yes, of course. Sometimes, out of respect, experience, and age, I can call some people my Father. But you know somebody as your Father when you know that you have a relationship or there's some connection between you and that person. He says, for this reason, tell him, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is a holy ground. Because prior to that, he's saying that shut your room, shut your door and be in your room. The disciples concluded by observing Jesus Christ, or by observation, that Jesus was able to do what he did or what he does because he was in constant communion with the Father. So they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. If you look at the rendering in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says, and when Jesus has finished praying, his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Why did they do that? Because they saw him praying. And they saw Jesus Christ doing miracles. They saw him preaching and people coming to faith. They saw him teaching people to become disciples. They saw him casting out devils. They saw him healing the sick. They saw him setting people who are oppressed free. He did wonders. And we're wondering, what is behind it? And they realized what was behind it was prayer. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Today is my prayer that you will also come to that point. You say, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So having an intimate relationship with God allows him to deposit his power in us. No relationship with God, no power. Hear it again. No relationship with God, no power. If you want to be a powerful Christian, then have an intimate relationship with God. And that way you'll be able to change situations in your home. You'll be able to reverse negative things in your life. You'll be able to speak to the mountains to move and they will move. You'll be able to pray against diseases and sicknesses when medical solution is not working. That means that the doctors have come to the end of their cure. Many times we hear, the doctors say, look, we give you 3 days to live. We give you 2 months to live. That means they can't do anything anymore. I have been a witness to a point that someone, the doctor said, look, it's done. At that time, I didn't even know what to do. And I sat down and I went to the doctors and I said, so what does it mean? In a nice way, it means that there's nothing going to happen. We'll just manage it for the person to die. And I didn't know what to do. I was so broken at the time. And that child died. The parents were in the church at the time. Now I understand that no relationship, there's no power. Another way to put it, that if you want to walk in power, you should have an intimate relationship with God. Nicodemus in the Bible sorts this one out. How do we know that? Let's look at, First John, let's look at John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says that there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Hallelujah. Meaning, unless you are in a relationship with God, you can't do these things. That's what Nicodemus saw that. That unless God is with him. You see, if God is with you, that means you know God. You know him as your father. You are in a relationship with him. But he was a teacher. He was a rabbi. He was a leader of the Jews. Or ruler of the Jews. Ruler means he wasn't just one of them. He was a serious man. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He came as a ruler of the Jews. And he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. You and who knows? He knew. But then he just wanted Jesus to understand that not only him knows, but people around also know that he's a man come from God. Because no one can do these things, these signs that you do, unless God is with him. So let's look at some key aspects of maintaining a relationship with God. I'll come back to Nicodemus in my preach at some point soon. But let's look at the key aspect of maintaining a relationship with God. One, God invites us to communion with him. God is inviting you and me for communion with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, he says that God is faithful. by whom you were called. The word is called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. You can trust him. You can believe in him. You can put your life on him, by whom you were called. He has called us into a fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That means anyone who gives his or her life to Jesus Christ has been called into communion, has been called into fellowship with his Son. The word called is synonymous to guest, being a guest. You've been called. Come in. It means God invites us to have fellowship or relationship with him. If we have no relationship, the call is incomplete. So if God is calling you and you are not having a relationship with him, then that call is incomplete. That relationship cannot be complete. For instance, I mean, I'm a man, right? When you're growing up and you fancy somebody and at the end of the day you go on your knees, I never did that. I mean, and he said, look, would you marry me? Why? Is there anything weird about it? No, there's nothing weird about it. Definitely not. So, if you're in a relationship and you say, will you marry me? Why would you go on your knees? You go on your knees all your life. So, if you're in a relationship and you said, will you marry me? And the person doesn't say anything, you are in trouble. The call is not complete. It's got to be complete for the person to say yes. Then you can have your marriage, isn't it? If not, you're wasting your time. So let's move on very quickly. I'm just using worldly things to just bring you to a point. God, a key aspect of maintaining a relationship with God, number two, a relationship with God must be daily and personal. Must be daily and personal. John 15, verse 7. This is what he says. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. Hear it again. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. You see, our relationship must always be a present one. If you abide in me, that means our relationship with God is a personal and present one. If you abide in me, be one with me, be united with me. God wants you and me to be united with him. So this year, 2022, every one of you listening to me here or listening to me online, I want you to know that God has called us into a relationship, and he said, if you abide in me, that means the choice is yours. You got to make a choice that you want to abide in the Lord. And today, do you want to? The choice is yours. The choice is mine. And it's got to be a personal choice. And it's got to be a present choice. Everyone has their own. God wants for you every day to draw near and communicate with him. So find that place that we call in this church there. Find that place that you can call it, this is the there place for me. That when I go there, he'll be there. Where one or two people are gathered in my name, I'll be there. God wants you to find that place that you can shut your door and say, this is the place, this is the there place that God will meet me there. Amen? When we're in the university, and say, okay, let me not tell that story. I would digress. Let me move on. That means our relationship with God must be personal, and I want your relationship to be also personal. Find that place where you will shut your door and be personal with God. Do you know sometimes certain things you can't even tell your wife or your husband or your daughters or your children about it or your friends, your best friends about it? It is so personal to you that you want somebody you can talk to, and you can talk to God. So that place, you want to be personal with him. Sometimes it's eating you up. Sometimes you're at a point of literally breaking down. You're at a point of shame that you want a way out, and you just need that place to talk to God. You need to be personal with God. That place, there's no shame. That place, There's no weaknesses. That place, you don't even want to know if somebody is listening or not, because you want to remain personal with God. And God will also be personal with you and help you out through that. Let's look at the third aspect of this relationship that we can maintain with God. Our relationship should be a priority. Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." God demands to be first, because whatever you put first will be your God. Hear it again. God demands to be first, because whatever you put first will be your God. The Heavenly Father does not accept second place. Among the many things that you must do every day, your relationship with God is the only one you cannot neglect. Maybe you can get up. And because you're late, you may not even work. Iron your clothes. You can get away with that. You may run and you miss the bus. The next one will come. But your relationship with God, if you want to put God first, you cannot neglect it. It will mean that you have to wake up a great while before day to be able to do that. And Jesus Christ himself set as a model in Mark chapter 1 verse 35. The Bible said that, "And he woke up a great while before day, and he went to the quiet place or lonely place, the dead place as we call it, because it was a favorite place for him. There he went to commune with God." So if the one that we are following is doing that, and he knows that that is where relationship starts, he made God his priority and was doing that. So why aren't you doing that? Many people need become their priority above God, and yet they do not live in peace. You see, if your needs become a priority, that, oh, you know what, I need some money. Oh, I need this, and I need this, and I need that. And you have your long list. If those things become your priority, you will not build a relationship with God. You will not have peace, because you're always thinking about those things. And you cannot know God for yourself. When you make God your priority, he becomes your source. Amen? When you make God your priority, he becomes your source. And his peace will rest on you. Because in Matthew 6 verse 31 to 32, it was saying that, look, I mean, is it, you worry about what you eat, what you wear, where you sleep, whatever you worry, you worried about. Yet God is able to clothe the birds of the air. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The righteousness means doing that which is right before God. And when you seek God and his righteousness, and you do that which is right before God, then all those things that you've listed, that will become your priority, will be added unto you. Amen? That means to be added in addition to knowing God and he being your source, those things will be added unto you. Amen. That is what God is doing. When your relationship with God becomes your priority, you also grow strong and your mind is stayed on him. You grow strong and your mind is stayed on him, which builds your trust, and you have his peace in every situation. The reason why sometimes we fall apart in the midst of adversity, in the midst of difficulties, simply because God is not our priority. Our mind is not stayed on him. We cannot trust him enough. Some people have issue with trust because somebody has disappointed them. Forget about that somebody. The Bible tells us, and Bram was quoting it in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18, that the former things we should put behind him. The fact that somebody has disappointed doesn't mean that God is going to disappoint you. If you raise some expectations and you don't see, you don't blame God. Sometimes I hear people say, "Oh God, I'm angry with you." That's your problem. You may be angry with God, but he is not angry with you. So who is losing out? Right? So please, When you build that relationship and you build that trust in him, you become strong. You grow stronger. You are able to face every situation. In fact, Isaiah 26 verse 3 says that you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God will keep you in perfect peace. The very person of the Holy Spirit will be with you and accompany you and be by your side. God will stay your mind. He will stay your heart. Even that means that the problem is not there. The problem will still be there. That means that the anxiety is not there. It's still there. But it's that your mind, because your mind is stayed on him and you trust in him, he will keep you in perfect peace. So what happens when our relationship with God becomes our priority? We'll talk about a few points here. How am I doing with time? Okay. Our relationship with God, number one, affects other relationships. Your relationship with God affects other relationships. The way we treat people is the way we treat God. Likewise, the way we love God will be the way we love others. If our relationship with God is good, all our relationship will be good, and vice versa. Let me push it a little bit. When we love God, that is born out of our intimate relationship with him, we will get on with other people too. Because people said, I love you, Lord, and I give you my heart, whatever the song is. And then they don't love anybody around them. The Bible tells us, if you say you love God that you don't see, and the person that you see, you don't love that person, then what's your problem? You have a real, real issue. He said the two is incompatible. If you love God, you love other people. So when we love God, that is born out of our intimate relationship with him, we will get on with others. Though you will sometimes be hurt by people, sometimes you'll be offended by what they do or say, but you let go because the love of God is in you. Amen? You let go. I'm not saying that you will forget. The thoughts will be there, but you let go. You will not take vengeance. Number two, what happens when our relationship with God becomes our priority? It keeps you under a spiritual covering. When you have that relationship with God, it keeps you under a spiritual covering. When it becomes your priority, what do I mean by that? When you have an intimate, private, and consistent relationship with God, you don't walk away from your spiritual covering where you receive spiritual nourishment. Amen? Amen? Some people are so unstable in their faith. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. They're in that church. Today they are happy here, the next day they are not happy. So unstable. Double-minded. The Bible says you're unstable in your ways. If you have that intimate, private, and consistent relationship with God, God is first for you. And therefore, you stay under that spiritual covering, that you have nourishment, and that you have your teaching, that you have your blessings, until God says so, move on, and then you move on. You understand that? I can count the number of churches that I've been in my life. Not many at all. Probably only three. And each one because I relocated. I might have visited a few churches and preached at many churches, but I've only been in three churches in all my life. I'm an old man. So you think about that. Hallelujah. Because you've got to remain under the spiritual covering to receive your spiritual nourishment. Don't move, otherwise you will not be fulfilled. Don't move. Don't move until your time is up. And if you decide to leave, leave well. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, because you think I'm only saying it, but let me back it up with scripture. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. He was teaching them about communion with him, and also spoke about the unbelief of the people. And when he spoke, in fact, when you look at John chapter 6, you read it up, middle point, all the way from verse 50 onwards. The story I'm talking about is there because time will not permit us to go through all those verses. Many became offended when Jesus talked about communion. Indeed, they hated him and most walk away from him. He was saying that if anyone wants to come after me, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, the people couldn't take it. They understood, not that they did not understand it. They understood precisely that he was saying that your first priority is to have fellowship, close fellowship. How can you eat somebody's flesh? Just like food. When you eat food, it becomes part of you, isn't it? When you drink water, it becomes part of you. It's not separate from you. It's that which will build you up. It's that which will make you grow. It's that which will make you survive. So Jesus Christ was challenging them that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have part in me. They were not prepared to go that far. And some were offended. Some people say, who can hear this? Let's read some scripture. John chapter 6, verse 60. And then I'll read from verse 66 to 68. Therefore, many of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is hard saying. Who can understand it? In some translation, it says, who can receive it? They just can't receive it, or they just don't want to understand it. They understood well because they knew so much about, the Passover and the communion. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. They went back and walked with him no more because he said, I want you to have intimate communion with me. They couldn't take it. They couldn't understand. They chose not to understand it. Verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Verse 58. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So to whom shall we go? So today I'm saying that the only way forward for you in 2022 onwards is to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Have that communion with him. Eat his body, eat his flesh, and drink his blood. Have that communion with God. Have that spiritual fellowship with him. For it is what you, when you do that, that you have that spiritual covering. So all these many followers, if you read John 6, you see there were many people who were following Jesus Christ. They were coming under his spiritual covering. He was protecting them. He was healing them. He was casting out devils. He was teaching them. He was discipling them. He was setting those who were oppressed free. He was doing all these people, doing all these things. That means he was giving them spiritual covering. And yet, when he challenged them to an intimate and personal relationship with God, some were offended and they turned around and they went. Who can hear this? Who can understand this? Do you also want to go? Today I'm asking you that question. Do you also want to go? Because you're offended by what I'm saying. Do you also want to go? Hey, let's move on to what happens to our relationship when we become, when we make God our priority. Let's look at the third point. Then I'll sum a few things at the bottom and then we go. Our relationship with God will cast out the spirit of doubt, unbelief, and fear. Hear it again. Our relationship with God will cast out the spirit of doubt, unbelief, and fear. Doubt is a spirit. Unbelief is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. If you're here and you are afraid of everything. My own definition about fear is literally, it means that disproportionate reaction, emotional, physical, and mental towards a perceived threat. Disproportionate reaction. It's a perceived threat. It may not even be true. And that can shake you up. That can mess up your brain. That can make you weak. That can make you somebody who is always looking over your shoulders. Fear is a spirit. Doubt is a spirit. You cannot trust God. You cannot believe God. Everything that you hear it, but then, nah, nah, nah. And yet you sit in the plane, and then somebody says, hello, welcome to this, and there's the pilot here, blah, 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 blah. And sometimes there's no pilot, right? You know, sometimes they fly auto. Not always, but sometimes. If you don't know, you should know. We send robots up there. Who's sitting? Nobody. So I just want you to understand this. That fear is a spirit. Unbelief is a spirit. Doubt is a spirit. When you have a relationship with God, you tend to trust Him more and come out of your comfort zone to want more of Him. You walk by faith, not by sight. Nothing stops you from believing. Let's go back to Nicodemus again and look at his story in John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." You see, the other day, Pastor Irene was drawing my attention to revelation that she received, and I just want you to know that she was discussing this with me, so I thought I would use it in my preach. Now, from the account of the book of John, right, Nicodemus had seen only one miracle. And that miracle was in chapter 2. Jesus turning water into wine. Now, just one miracle, just one sign, it awed him so much that this man moved. This great man, put him this way, probably he was the principal of whatever the theological seminary, college, or university. He must have been the principal. And yet something moved him that he went to see Jesus Christ. One sign. Jesus turning water into wine. Because when you read the book of John, by the time you come to chapter 3, you don't see any miracle except for that one. Right? So you saw one sign. And that one sign that this guy saw, it moved him to want to put behind him his status quo, his position, his religion. And he went to see Jesus Christ. Because he saw a sign. John says, what we have seen, what we have held, what we have believed, what we have handled, we share with you. So many of you have seen the miracles that God is working here in this church. Some have had your lives transformed. Many have been delivered and others have been saved. Others have been witnesses to the salvations in this church. People giving their life to Christ. One morning I was preaching, just like I'm preaching. And when I finished, all the children, young ones, we call them Y Factor, people from the ages of 12 to 16, they just walk by themselves. And they came here and they gave their life to Christ. Most of these people are still in faith right now. Some are serving in our church right now. They just walked. You have seen this and many more. I don't have to go into details because there are so many. One day when you start writing the books, you can put them in there. You have seen these things happen. You have been witnesses to this. A lot more have seen the power. And you yourself operate in authority. And you operate with signs and wonders. Some still lived. Yet some still lived in unbelief. That shocks me. That surprised me. But then will it surprise me? No. Some still live in unbelief. Unbelief is a spirit. Hear it out. Unbelief in the spirit. And today we have to cast out every spirit of unbelief that is in you. If you can't believe and time again, you are struggling to believe, there's a spirit operating in you, and that spirit needs to be cast out. But you've got to be willing. Otherwise, you remain in that cycle of unbelief time and time again. See, a lot of churches will not know what to do, but we know what to do right here. Because God has given us power from our relationship with God. We pray for the sick, they get healed. Even when the hospitals cannot heal them. God is able to. Sometimes when I was growing up, I was told that when you pray and you don't get a result, maybe God says, wait, wrong theology. Never take it. If you go to a seminary, they will teach you that. But it's not a good theology at all. Whenever you pray, God must listen. But it should come out of your relationship. Amen? Amen. Amen. So Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who comes from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God was with him. He saw one sign. You have seen so many. So why are you not believing? You have seen so many. Why aren't you getting your relationship right? You have seen so many. Why aren't you willing to be discipled? Why have you stopped? Because you are not willing. John chapter 6, they were not willing to go any further. Jesus said, anyone who wants to come after me. So do you want to come after Jesus? Our relationship with God requires quality time. A relationship that does not include quality time is selfish. A quality time means being with someone and giving them your full attention. God wants us to eliminate all distractions and focus on Him. Some of you are distracted. Distracted because you think you have joy and fun out there. You are distracted because other things have come between you and God. And you know that your relationship is not as it was before. You are distracted. And the enemy loves that. He wants to distract you. So when he distracts you, you become weaker and weaker because your relationship with God becomes weaker and weaker and weaker, and get to a point that he knows that you are on your knees. And when he hits you, it is so difficult for you to get up. But the moment that he's distracting you, you find it fun. You find it easy. I don't have to go through the details of your distraction, but you know what is distracting you. What is it that is taking the first place? What is it that is taking God from you? Is that your job? Is that your fun? Is that your children? Is that, I'm not saying don't love all these things. These things, we need them. But what is distracting you from a closer relationship? Even God a quality time. Because after preaching, if I don't tell you how to make it, then we can pray. How do we establish and maintain that relationship? One, by repenting of our sins and iniquity in our lives. You see, when you are independent and far from God, not having that relationship is a problem. That is sinful. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of God. The second way that we have to come back to God, if we want to reestablish that relationship and maintain it, is by forgiving others. This one is very important. In this church, when it comes to inner healing and deliverance, we spend a whole lot of hour and a half or so, or sometimes even two, just to talk to you about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness does not say that the issue or the pain and the wrong did not happen. It did happen. But you choose to let go. Let's see what the scripture says in Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. It says that whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Don't say try. It says forgive him. That is a clear instruction. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And you know, you and me, we do trespass God many, many times, don't we? We do so many things that if God decided he would not forgive us, we would be in real trouble. But he forgives us. Even in the model prayer, say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's the expectation that you will forgive. So please, 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 the way how to establish that relationship is to forgive. Number three, remove all obstacles to your relationship with God and invest quality time with him. Remove all obstacles. Anything that stands in the way this year, make a decision that you are going to remove it. Finally, make a commitment with God. This means that we give ourselves in submission, in consecration, in dedication and sacrifice. Submission, consecration, dedication and sacrifice. We submit, we yield to God. We consecrate. We set ourselves apart. That is what it means. Set yourself apart. You dedicate. You give it back to him. Sacrifice willingly, with all your heart, to know God and have a daily relationship with him. Amen and amen. Are you blessed? Hallelujah. We want to pray right now. If you'll be able to stand, you've been sat for 45 minutes according to my clock. And I want us to stand on our feet, to stretch our legs for the blood to flow properly and get a little bit warmer as well. We want to pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Today we're going to talk to God. We want to renew our relationship with God. Some of you need to start again. So today I want us to pray. I'll be praying that prayer too. I want to pray to repent for not having a relationship with God. We want to repent for not giving him priority in our lives. We want to repent for not spending quality time with him. What we are going to repent of is three things. For not having a relationship with God, for not giving him priority or priority place in our lives, and not giving him quality time. We want to say, God, we are sorry. By not doing so, we deny ourselves. We cannot continue to substitute our relationship with God with other things. We cannot continue to do that. So talk to God right now. Ask him to forgive you. This prayer, you got to pray it yourself. Talk to God right now. Tell God, I'm sorry. I want you to refresh me right now. If you are watching me online, I want you to pray this prayer too. Repent for not having a relationship with God. Repent for not giving him priority in your life. Repent for not giving him quality time in your life. And if you are praying this prayer, I want you to commit yourself to put a relationship with God as first priority. Say, God, I'm putting my relationship with God first. From here on, I want my relationship with God to be first. Pray this prayer because I'm going to pray for you right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Keep on praying. Father God, today I pray. And I pray right now. And I pray right now for your sons and daughters. Father, I want to pray and I want to pray for deliverance from the spirit of unforgiveness. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus and I arrest that soul to obey Christ. I arrest that soul that is hurt. I arrest that soul that is grieving. I arrest that soul that's been bruised. I arrest that soul that has been cheated on. I arrest that soul that has been abused. I arrest that soul today. And I release that spirit from that person. And I set that person free by the authority of the risen Christ. Right now, be freed from any form of unforgiveness. Right now, receive from God in Jesus' name. Right now, receive from God in Jesus' name. Receive from God in Jesus' name. And today I pray, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray and I pray that you be set free from all forms of sin. Anything that you have done that has damaged your relationship with God, today I pray and I pray that you be forgiven because of the cross of Jesus, because of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross for you and me. Today I pray that you be set free. The things that you've said with your mouth, the things that you've said in your mind, the things that you've committed with your body, today I set you free from it in Jesus' name. I ask for the grace of God to be upon you. I ask for forgiveness of God to be upon you. I ask for the mercy of God to be upon you. I ask for the love of God to be upon you. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray. And I want to bind any wounded hearts. Anyone who's here, whose heart is bruised, whose heart is wounded. Father God, you know their stories. I sense that someone's heart is wounded. Right here. Something has hurt you so much, it's broken you so much that you don't know what to do right now with yourself. Today I'm praying for you. You may be in this building or you may be online. Today I'm praying for you. Father, I'm praying that you bind a broken heart. Father, your word says you've come to heal those who are bruised. You come to bind a brokenhearted. And Father God, today I pray and I bind that brokenhearted. In the name of Jesus, I bind, Father God, those bruises. Father God, I go into the heart. I go into the heart by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, to heal those wounds. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray, and I pray like a doctor will use an instrument to get into the heart, to mend it. I pray in Jesus' name that the heart will be mended in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray that you remove that pain. Father, I pray that you remove that pain right now in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing. Receive your healing. Receive your healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And I want to pray a last prayer, and I'm praying for impartation upon each one of you who is hungry and who hunger to see God in a prayerful way this year. I'm praying for the impartation of that hunger to come upon you. Anyone who is willing today, I'm praying for the impartation of hunger to come upon you, to want to see God, to want to know God, to want to build that intimacy with Him. Today, I pray for that hunger to be upon you right now in Jesus' name. Receive that hunger. Receive that hunger. Receive that thirst so that you'll be filled. The Bible says, blessed are those who thirst and hunger after righteousness, the right thing to seek a relationship with God so that you'll be filled in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I pray and deliver your people from oppression of the enemy. Oppression of the mind. Oppression of the mind. Father, I set them free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Before I sit down, I just want to, ask you if today you feel like you want to dedicate your life to Jesus Christ or give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time. I want you to just take a step here, and I just want to pray a short prayer with you. If you want to give your life to Jesus, or if you want to rededicate, that means you want to come back to God, just come here. I will not waste your time at all because my time is almost up. Just take that step and come forward. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Who else want to give his or her life to Jesus Christ? Who want to dedicate his or her life to God? You are saying to God, I want to become your property. That's what you're saying. And God will take care of you. He'll look after you. He'll walk with you. And He'll make sure that your year and the years ahead of us will go well with you. Who else will want to join? And I'll pray right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Brother, don't be afraid. Pray this prayer after me. Jesus Christ, today I come before you and I submit myself under your authority. And I'm asking you, Jesus, come into my life and make me your child again. Make me your son again and renew my relationship with you. Today I accept the blood of Jesus Christ as the complete price paid for my sins. And today I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to make you my King and my Lord. From here onwards, I renounce the work of the evil one. And today I pray that, Father God, I'm your property. You look after me. Watch over me, walk with me, protect me. Father God, shield me from the works of the evil one. And if I die and I wake up, I'll find myself in your arms. I thank you, Jesus, for this privilege that I have. Holy Spirit, come and dwell within me right now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you.